Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Corey and Kevin Talk About Nothing. If you're tuning in for the first time,
I'm Corey.
I'm Kevin, and welcome to our podcast talk show.
Hello, hello, yeah. You fine gentle people out there.
Fine gentle people. Yes. Interesting episode. We didn't quite have enough time for a second movie, so we're just going with one movie today, and we'll talk about some other things. Kind of like what it used to, you know, the old days.
No, the old days. The old days.
But the movie that we will be talking about is The Black Phone. Which was really cool because, like, I'm going to get the name wrong, and I do apologize. But the screenplay was written by C. Robert Cargill. And I follow him on Twitter, and kind of seems like he went down like a... what were those things? The contest seemed like he went through like this contest route and got discovered. I'm not exactly sure if that's true or not, but it seems like it. You know, this is like one of his first things being created. I think I'm not too sure. All I know is I follow him on Twitter.
Gotcha. And I listened to a little bit of you know, because I pre-watched a little bit before we recorded this. So to do a little bit of refresher in my brain and a little bit of things like that, I watched a couple of YouTube videos on the movie. Yeah. And they actually did bring that up. They didn't say anything about a contest winner. They didn't say anything about that. But they kind of like wanted to detail like where he got it from, what this happened, and like some of the meaning behind it. And it's actually, the meaning is the movie, right? I mean, that's the truth behind it. Mm-hmm. But where he came up with and like how he loved, he actually talked about how he loved doing what he did for this entire movie anyway. So he's like, he just like a couple things that he said was something about, he's like, I love the fact that, you know, this is my starter. This is my first big go-to film creation.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
You know, and I think that, you know, for especially like to hear that too, like that's one thing I thought was pretty cool. So for me to hear him say like this is his first one, you're like, oh, this is a good movie for your first flick, right?
Oh, you know, yeah, for sure.
For that whole portion of it.
Your portfolio's got a good one for the...
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so you're big for your first big Hollywood, let me say it that way. You know what I mean? We like to say we got a Hollywood films and then we have our independent films, right?
Yeah.
For your first Hollywood film, man, it was on par for a big, I think, a big movie. For
you know, this is a Blumhouse feature. Which Blumhouse is just like the name of horror nowadays, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But so it almost doesn't feel like, you know, super Hollywood. So at least we're like in the middle grounds, we'll say. That's why there's only one this time.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, The Black Phone, yeah. I mean, I definitely had my issues with it. And especially, you know, I have an issue overall with... the ending, because if what happened to the mother and the daughter has the same issue, well, that's a pretty tragic story.
It is. So outside of the normal story?
Yeah. So, like outside of the normal story is pretty, I'm like kind of shocked. Like, wait, are we going to have a second one where, like, we save her? Because that's not going to be great. No. I knew it was Daniel Faraday as soon as, like, the paper came down slightly a bit. I'm like, I know those eyes.
Yep,
I know those eyes. Tell me you know about Eloise, all right?
Yes, please. Please.
Yeah, it was cool to see him, and he's a piece of crap.
No, he is, 100%. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And, yeah.
That was probably like, I mean, it's just like a hard part of the film to watch, just because it's like, I don't want that. I don't want to see that happen to kids getting, you know, hit with a belt or.
Yeah.
I mean, come on there. Come on.
100%.
That's messed up.
Yeah, I totally. Yeah, it is super messed up.
Come
on, buddy.
But jeez. So overall, I did enjoy the suspense of the film, and I really enjoyed Ethan Hawke as the grabber. Wow, man.
When he's
sitting in the chair with the belt waiting for you to make that mistake, I'm like, that's fucking creepy, man.
It's super creepy. Super creepy. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So now, so my big question for just, and I guess I'm asking this a little early, but I just wanted to ask you this question. How long was this process?
How long was what process?
How long was, once it happened, how long was he truly captive?
Okay. I'm going to guess maybe like a week.
Okay, so you think it's that short too?
Yeah.
I was reading, when I was looking it up, you know what I mean. I started on just the internet, right? Just kind of googling it, kind of see. And there was somebody that went out there and said, "Oh, it was like a 2 month process." I'm like, 2 months? Whoa!
They didn't do season changes. What am I missing? They didn't do weather changes.
No, they did none of that.
There's no reason to believe that, because he was only like fed like twice.
Exactly. Thank you. That
month.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So
toilet water, but
yes. So for him to be like, yeah, exactly, eating with his hands like that. You're like, whoa, like what, like then. But it did make me think back on it. Like, was it really 2 months, or was it like a way shorter,
a week to 2 weeks?
Gotcha. That's what I was. So that's what I was thinking too. Okay.
Because to be honest, like it's just. There isn't a whole lot that happens in general, and there's not a whole lot of victims. And so, you know what? I would almost say, and he took the kids, you know, more quick than the months. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking it was almost like maybe 5 days, because there was probably about five victims, I think it was.
And yes, so it'd be
about five phone calls.
Yeah, so do you remember the kid that ended up being captured that showed him how to put the stuff in the phone?
Yeah. Right?
So he was in the film. He was earlier. You met this kid.
Right.
Like, you met actually two of them, actually.
Yeah, you met two
so,
of them.
So, you know what I mean? So you met two of them in the beginning of the movie type of realm. So you're like, wait a minute. Where does this 2 months come into play? Like, you know what I mean? Just all of a sudden. Now, I don't know if the comment was 2 months in totality. Which then
maybe, yeah,
right?
Maybe
so
like
the first
it's two
kid, the
months
second
of,
kid,
yeah,
the five, third, 10, yeah, right? 15,
20,
yeah.
25,
yeah. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe. I just think, because I think there was a little bit of a gap in between some of them. You know
I'd
what I mean?
Say not, about a month to 2 months of this guy out on the loose taking kids, yeah.
For sure,
enough
absolutely.
For
so
like
maybe
them to like not have citywide lockdowns or
exactly,
curfews
yes.
or parents being like, "You're never leaving this house again."
Ever. I'm telling you, because if I had kids, that
they would never be leaving the house.
We hit number two, you're in the house.
Yeah.
You're in the house. Yeah, you're homeschooled.
House. Oh,
you're
yeah,
in the
yeah.
house. You know what I mean? You're not leaving for
right
now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Until this
and I think,
monster is caught.
And I think that's where like it really speaks to the strength of this movie is the creep factor in this movie was completely well done, executed beautifully, because where Ethan Hawke is in the scene, you are just unsettled. The grabber, I'm just going to call him grabber because that's definitely not Ethan Hawke. That was a monster.
The grabber.
So, yeah, I just really think they nailed that. Some of the things, you know, There are a couple of things where I'm just like, all right, you know, it's okay, you know. Certain, like, they made it seem like the girl was, like, running, and they changed, like, you know, they changed, like, the zoom and everything, but it just looked like she was running in place. And it's just certain things where it's, like, experimental, it doesn't fall in line with the rest of the way the film is.
Correct.
Those things are kind of distracting. And there were a couple of other times, too, where that happened, where it would just kind of take you out and... but overall, just the fact that, like he's sleeping in the cell and then wakes up and the grabber's in there with him, like that's creepy, you know?
Yeah.
The phone ringing and him getting all these tips and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. The dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay. We're really heavily leaning into these like religious, type of themes, and then it's like, well, they even ask the question like, wait, is it Jesus or is it this mental illness or something? Like, it's just, I don't know, like, so some things were like unanswered to where I'm like curious,
yeah, like, for sure.
So, like, maybe there will be a second one. I don't know. Well, I guess there couldn't be a second one because...
There's woo-wee! Yeah, exactly.
Which, very cool.
Exactly. So the one thing I did, like, that I found, and this is actually before I even, like, listened to the recap, it actually went back into it, you know, and because at first it took me a second to, like, kind of realize this, that, you know, all of these phone calls he's getting, you know, were from the previous things, right? Yeah. You know, I'm just going to... Spoiler alerts, there's no way around it. So
I think it's in the trailer where the phone rings and yeah, but go ahead.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that, I do think that like it was a little bit more, I thought it was really cool of how they tied each one of their ideas and mistakes into this entire thing, right? So I do think like that was cool. You know what I mean? I do think that some of those things were like really fun, but this is where I had one problem with it. Okay, so do you remember the one phone call you got where he talked about the phone wire in the wall?
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
So if he tried that, if the other kid tried it, that means the kidnapper, they put the wire back in. Like that's one thing I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Well,
like
no, that's an interesting point because he would have gotten caught being a naughty boy.
Exactly, and then the guy would have ripped the rest of the wire out, so the wire would not have been back in place in the crack.
Unless he did that, and that wasn't ultimately it, because naughty boy is when they try to escape with the door that's open. So,
yep.
So that could have been like, oh, you tried to escape, whatever, I was going to let you go, because like he has that speech of where like I was going to let you go if you didn't lie. So maybe he would have done that and then left the door open again, and that's probably
what, maybe
you know
yeah
you know I'm guessing most of them met their end that way because when they start you know if you don't play the game you can't lose so you kind of just keep you have like almost a limit you know the amount of time until you can't drink or eat
correct so to that point too one more little small question that I had during this. So do you remember when he took the bathroom apart and he was trying to go through the wall, right? Yeah. So they always said in the thing, and this is what the explanation is, they kind of stated as well, is that what they did is he reenacted the same things that these other kids have tried because they were trying to guide them into getting the escape, right?
Yeah.
So why is there not still a hole in the wall? Why is there still not a hole in the floor? Why is there still not like that's what kind of gets to me. Well, because those things got
filled in. Because remember what the one guy was like? Oh, I made him real mad because of the repairs he had to make.
Yes, because
that's why if you saw like towards the end, what he has in his truck, it's like a bunch of bags of cement. It's a bunch of bags. So
for sure, I get, but at the same time though, it's the same loose tile. They said, "Oh, there's a loose tile in there. There's a wire in the crack of the wall." There, so that's all I'm saying. So like, so
yeah, the same it kind of just tile, doesn't add up. Yeah,
it doesn't add up. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not trying to pick the movie apart, but like when I think about it in like the really fine tooth, I guess it's like, wait a minute. Like I've done these repairs before. You would fix the tile, so the next time, the tile was fixed. You know what I mean?
Well, the tile fixed. It wasn't loose. He broke it apart.
But it was loose in the corner. Every other tile was fixed. That's the same tile that the same kid had. That's all I'm saying. So the kid that told him about it, it was the exact same tile, is all I'm saying. Like that's and maybe you're right. Maybe it was fixed.
Oh yeah, why would you even have to go to that tile?
Correct. Exactly. Oh,
because there wouldn't have been cement, it would have been dirt instead. But why would that happen? Yeah, okay. I
seriously. So do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like those are the little things I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Like I'm not trying to be nitpicky.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yeah.
Overall, I really enjoyed it. Jessica really enjoyed it. She actually moved over from the other couch onto mine. It was like we were dating, you know. And but it was really funny because the boy's trying something. She just has the cover up in front of her, like he's behind her. He's behind her. I know he's behind him. And I'm like, I feel like there were a couple of moments that like they could have used a little extra, but you didn't get it. But that's okay.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I think.
It's like sick because, like, obvious. But it's a movie. Like, it's sick of me because I'm like, oh, it's like, not anticlimactic because of what happens, but you almost Like, he's creepy, man. He's a really good serial killer. Yeah. Like, he's really 100%. Creepy. So you're almost like, I wouldn't mind a second one. I wouldn't mind a prequel. Like, I wouldn't mind something where you see more of this character. Because, my God.
Because the thing is, like, this is the thing.
He's terrifying with that mask.
Well, absolutely. The thing is, what you can also do is, you can kind of learn a little bit more of why the mask, right? I know that you learn a little bit.
Like, did you make the mask?
Exactly. Yes, 100%. And then also you can get into, because he did this in another state type of thing, right? To where, like, but he actually got away with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because of the mask. Because of this.
Now,
exactly. Yes. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know what I mean? So, I agree with you. I mean, because the movie, I feel like I nitpicked it for a second. I'm not trying to nitpick it. There's just little things that have just bothered me about it. But overall, like you said, I actually highly enjoyed the movie. I recommend this to people, and four other people have already watched this movie since I recommended it to them, because I obviously like the movie so much.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
so, like,
right.
I really don't want to take anything away from the movie, but there were. I can't help but nitpick a little bit.
That's what we're doing here.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's not a grand slam. Might be a homer, but it ain't a grand slam.
Exactly. No.
But it gave me, like, that good unsettled feeling. We didn't have to worry about gore. We didn't have to worry about sick contraptions and puzzles. No, this is like a good old-fashioned movie, a horror movie, where the character is just so good and creepy. It just, any scene he's in, it creeps you out.
It corrected. So you use the word creepy? Exactly. So I use the word, I think they did a fantastic job with the movie and him. Fear. They put fear. I think that, to me, if you can put fear into me, it's a totally different game. Like you said, I'm going to use a word, I'm going to use the Saw, okay? Saw were great films. For the first couple, right? Because it was all brand new. But if you don't like the gore and stuff, it's not fear. It's grossness, right?
Yeah,
it's really just
grossness. Yeah,
exactly. So it's not that fear.
And you're expecting most of these people to fail so you can see these things pop off.
Correct.
So,
they're not making a movie for everybody to succeed. You know what I mean? Not everybody. Yeah. No. So that's more or less like where I'm like flown into. I'm like, I loved this part of it. I really did. So,
That was the first time when he gets that phone call, he's like, don't play that game, man.
For sure, absolutely.
It goes to him just sitting in that chair in the kitchen with the belt, his shirt off, mask on. Dude just is like, dude, you creep me out, man.
You're creeping me out, for sure, dude.
Ethan Hawke, that's funny. Nice fucking work, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I agree. I totally agree with you.
It's refreshing to see because – you know, it's almost like this horror genre. You either have like something that's B rated, where it's almost like kind of like making fun of itself, or where you just have reboots and reboots, or sequels and sequels of the original scary guys. So, or scary people. So it's like, really, I need a Funko of this dude and his mask, man. Like that.
Creepy,
man.
Yeah, it was creepy. I agree with that.
It's haunting.
So
I would definitely say watch it. It was definitely a good flick to catch. Obviously we have issues with it. I think it's kind of like what we do, right? We just talk about it.
Exactly.
We
just
talk
about
what made us happy about it, what happened. Like, okay.
The Rotten Tomato. Oh, so go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, dude, it's high. It's like, what, 86%?
82% right now. 82%. And then 86 with Google users, 7 on the IMDb.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a good one.
It's a good movie, for sure.
Like, story, conceptual, frame, you know, shot by shot. Yeah, there's a couple of weird things, but overall, it's a solid movie.
Nope.
Dude, the grabber is just so friggin' creepy. But the only thing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit was the first kid that was taken is basically just like, you know, who's the Stranger Things? You know, the guy who rocks out on the guitar. Yeah, why am I... I loved him. I was so mad what happened. Why can't I remember?
Oh my gosh! Come on.
Yeah, I'm actually. It's only on this podcast that this happens. I swear, because
I'm spinning off facts every other word I go.
Which is constantly. Oh, who's this? Oh, bam, 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 bam. But of course, I Eddie Munson.
Eddie Munson. Jesus, I'm angry.
I'm angry at myself.
Yeah.
He definitely, you know, gave the Eddie Munson vibe, or you know,
for sure.
The hair, yeah. The clothes. Oh yes. Yeah. The attitude, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah.
Where, you know, and that was kind of interesting, you know, the character's like moving around in the room with these goofy moves, and then like you see him later within the cop car with the sister and doing these moves. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of see where you're going with that. And
yeah,
not sure if it worked, but I see where you're going. So I guess in that terms it did work, but anyways.
Yeah.
But just overall, I left that movie thinking, that's creepy. We were watching Seinfeld afterwards, and I woke Jessica up, and I said, Jessica, hey, I just need you to come down to the basement with me. Can you come down to the basement with me? She's like, get out of here. What are you doing? I'm like, I just need you to come to the basement.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Didn't work.
No, she was still, she went upstairs, right?
Yeah, she ran.
Yeah, for sure.
She
yeah.
called the cop.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It was a bad joke.
That's where you've been. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Feel uncomfortable nights trying to explain a situation. But no, good stuff, man. I kind of hope there is like a prequel, and I kind of hope there is something that might deal more with the grab, because very interesting stuff. Cool stuff.
Yeah, very cool. And yeah. If you go to the acting with majority of the rest, I think the main kid, I mean the last one, I mean he did great. I mean I think that he was, you know, best that he could possibly do. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, I think he did his part in that. You know what I mean? He played that whole realm pretty well.
Oh,
obviously
yeah.
we talked about the grabber. He played great. I think the sister was okay. You know what I mean? I think her character, her growth was could only been so big, I think, in general, because of like her whole aspect of it anyways.
Yeah, that's where like I for her arc, I'm like, it's kind of left open, because
yeah,
if they never explained what happened to the mom fully or whatever, then maybe we'd just be like, oh, cool. But then like we found out, so we know like eventually, like if she has the same gift, eventually that gift might turn on her and cause her to do terrible things. So it's like kind of left open in that aspect. But
it is.
Yeah.
No.
I thought the sister did awesome. She had a mouth on her, man.
Oh, she did 100%. That's why, like, because like those are moments that I think that the movie did well for her to create her some sort of character of like when she stuck up for her brother, when she did like small things like that. You know what I mean? I think those were like big for her, because if they didn't do that, and there was just this little side story thing going on that it was a big, but it was actually huge. Like that's the funny part. They made this
just dreaming of this stuff. Like
yes. Crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like
so
we
like
talk you, about that, but okay.
Well, yes. Give me more information. I think like I definitely agree with that.
Maybe highly, she becomes the next grabber and can dream of where these kids will be.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's a terrible villain. Anyways, yeah. So check it out. Let us know what you thought.
Yeah, please.
Because I truly enjoyed. I didn't I expected to go into this enjoying it. I'm an Ethan Hawke fan, so I expected him to. Dude, I mean, just like the creepy factor when he's just staring at him and he's like, "I'll be back" or whatever. He's like talking to him, and you could see like tears welling up in his eyes. Like, my God, this dude's mentally unstable. But it's also like a testament of the actor of just being able to like. Really fulfill the request of this creepy ass character. So.
Absolutely. Well, and if you think about it, I mean, I'm not gonna like put too many factors out, but like think about the reaction that he had as well. I mean, his brother. I mean, think about the brother.
Yeah.
Like, I think the brother played a very like that helped out with the whole role of everything as well. I think
that was awesome.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think, like, the whole, like, with the cops involved, with the this involved, right? I think it was, like, this whole thing to where it actually helped deflect. I mean, yeah, really hey, did,
there's
dude.
A crazy living there. Let's exactly. not go back there.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing. So all of a sudden, but like, no, but the way I that. Agree. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So like at first it was like, it, then the one thing I liked about it too is it almost gave you a vibe that were, was his brother the napper, right? Like, was, you know what I mean? Because you just don't know. You just don't know. You have all the setup of it. Is he just selling it this way? No, it was not. You know, like, I just think it was, like, it was pretty fun. Like, yeah. I had a good time with it. You know what I mean? It was really, yeah, it was really.
That was good stuff. I liked, I just thought that the comedic relief with the brother was very nice. And then when the cops were leaving, they're like, you might want to tidy up a bit. And he's like,
before your brother gets
Max,
home.
Max. Yes. And then he snorts it because he's like, well, yeah, yep. you got to clean it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, let us know what you thought. I'll tell you what. I'll be looking for a Funko of the Grabber. I'll tell you what. He's going to figure out a way to get on that shelf somehow.
That's true.
I guess I'll need more shelves, but.
You do. He has to say, wait a minute, before you go too big.
Sanderson's sisters need to go to a different shelves after the second one. You know?
It's I need funny because.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, so I asked you about the clip earlier before we started this podcast. Yeah. You watched it. Do you know what I did? Last podcast, if anybody watched this podcast, you know, Kevin loved the first one of the Hocus Pocus. And I even put that at the very beginning of the clip. So I said, you say, I love Hocus Pocus. And then it cut. Then it went into your hatred about Hocus Pocus 2. It made me laugh so hard. I loved it because it's a true statement, though. Like,
it's like a 20-minute clip.
Exactly. Just so you know, I did go back and rewatch Hocus Pocus 2 again, like while I was playing games and stuff to kind of give it just exactly right. You know what I mean? So I just did it again, bro. You're 100% right. It was just as bad the second time I watched it. It's a bad movie. So yes. So I'm not gonna bring it up. We'll chop it there. But I'm just saying,
actors, dude, God, that are helming this whole thing. So like,
yeah.
If you're going to make more, well, I definitely don't give a crap because you didn't seem to give a crap about this movie. Anyways, I'm not getting back into that.
Exactly. We're not doing that. So I just wasn't trying. Yes. I just thought it was really funny and I wanted to make sure.
You know what I want to bring up?
So, what's that?
So I had a goal of reading 12 books this year. And I finished that goal. And then I'm overachieving now, which I'm very excited about. But the one of the books that I overachieved with. Overachieved, yeah, that's a weird thing to say, but is the Nolan Variations. Goodness, bro. So is the book was written in 2020, and it just so happens that Tenet came out in 2020, so there's actually the last chapter is about time, which, you know, has to deal with Tenet. So it's really cool to have everything that Nolan has put out in this book where I could get, like, some, you know, insider scoops and you know, get into the brain of Christopher Nolan. And I'll tell you what, this book was simply amazing. Like, what an interesting director, interesting creator, interesting person, and how things kind of fell in line was just mind-blowing to me, because he was doing the press for his first movie called Following, and his brother was in, I think, college for psychology or something, and was just learning about this brain issue where you can't make your short-term memories don't convert, and after 10 minutes your short-term memory is wiped and you're then wondering
moving on to the next one.
And that's like the whole premise of Memento. Well, they were on a road trip, Christopher Nolan and his brother, Jonah. They were on a road trip, and he's like, and Jonah's like, hey, let me tell you about this little short story, this idea that I have about this guy who wakes up in the hospital, has no more short-term memory, and he's trying to figure out, you know, these, you know, solve this murder, and he's got tattoos all over his body reminding him of what facts he knows. And so he was like, Christopher Nolan. So Jonah said, if Christopher's ever quiet, you know you've captured his attention. And he's like, it's the most quiet he's ever been. And right after that, Christopher Nolan was like, can I write a screenplay based off the short story, and bam, that's Memento.
Okay.
So then after Memento, he does a studio flick of Insomnia. It's a really great film, and in the book, he even says it's one of his underappreciated films, and I agree. Nobody ever talks about Insomnia, and it's like a really good movie. But it was his first studio budget, working with like Al Pacino and other, you know, bigger actors. So it was like this real big exposure. And then he goes on to do, what was it? Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Which he didn't really know that much about that universe, but what they did is apply the knowledge that they did have and build out this whole thing. And so in between Batman Begins, he puts out The Prestige, which is an incredible story that is kind of based off of a couple of things that him and his brother were talking about. Yeah. So it's just like all these influences that you learn about that went into writing and crafting these movies was just mind-blowing. Because after he had done The Prestige, he did The Dark Knight. And he knew after The Dark Knight how successful The Dark Knight was. He knew he could do whatever movie he wanted next. And so Inception, he actually started writing while he was in school, but couldn't finish it. He didn't know how to finish it. And then he had like a couple of kids at that point, and then worked in this emotional aspect and was able to finish it. So then he made Inception.
Okay.
Dude, Interstellar, his brother Jonah was writing a screenplay for Spielberg for the studio. And Spielberg actually moved studios, and so the screenplay just sat there, and Nolan was like, I've got this great idea. Could I use it? And they're like, yeah, and that became Interstellar. So it's just amazing, like, these just bricks fall in line and how everything is created. But, like, and then, like, this appearance, like, oh, this is a Nolan film. Like, you know to expect something bigger, something more thought-provoking, something more deeper. So, like, it's like its own universe now. And it was just incredible to see his thought process along the way, how it became that way. And you know, dude, it was just an incredible book.
It sounds like it's a phenomenal book. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a big reader, but, I mean, that's... And Christopher Nolan is a fantastic, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. And I think one of the most interesting things is, so he lived a life where he moved between Chicago and London back and forth a lot. And he went to school in London, but family lived in Chicago, so he went back and forth a lot. He has an English accent, but his brother Jonah, who was raised in like Chicago and the public school systems, he has an American accent. So I would love to just like have a conversation with the two and be like,
yeah,
you're fucking brothers? What?
Yes. Crazy. What? Yeah, that's wild. Both
like equally as talented. I mean, to think like, you know, going into this book, like I knew just based off of the credits that, you know, I think they call him Jonathan Nolan in the credits, not Jonah. In the book they call him Jonah.
Okay.
And he's credited with, you know, writing and all that stuff. And he's with, you know, the Syncope group. But to know now of, like, this bigger, heavier influence of some of my favorite movies, I'm like, well, that's absolutely astounding, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Because
obviously, you know, Christopher Nolan is directing and, you know,
he's creating the movies.
And he's taking these short stories and turning them into screenplays. But the original thought, the original ideas, the original characters, like all this stuff is a combined effort, and it's absolutely
that's
stunning.
Really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah okay. That's really that is really sweet.
So yeah, I have just loved that book. I was just blown away by the amount of care and detail and love for cinema that Nolan has. I mean, it's incredible. He's really just wanting to show his love for cinema. I mean, that's
oh yeah yeah absolutely yeah know? That's sweet
yeah And then
so
it's,
was this like an was this like an autobiography for himself, or did he like did he kind of like do this movie? I mean, his book himself, or
no? So there's this guy named Tom Schoen. That's who wrote the book.
Okay,
and he's written books on Martin Scorsese and a whole bunch of others. So
yeah,
he sat down with them for a real long time, so that you know, any prolific type of director, he's gonna kind of try to you know. Write about or whatever, but
yeah, okay.
I think like since Nolan's, you know, I've never watched Following. That's the only movie of his I haven't watched, and I'm trying to find it, so that I can watch it. But you know, knowing the full catalog of Nolan, I mean, it is its own genre, you could say. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like we were just saying, oh, it's a Nolan movie. You know, oh, okay. Well, you know exactly what that means. You might not know the genre. But you definitely know to be like your brain be open.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a new movie coming out. I think it's coming out 2023, and it's about Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer is the guy who created the nuclear bomb. And it's interesting because reading the book when I'm reading about Tenet, it's very interesting because the whole premise of Tenet is. They're trying to go backwards in time to disassemble the nuclear information and separate it. Because if you could go back in time and just wipe out all the information about nuclear weapons, you would like you would avoid a lot of heartache of just like knowing these things could. Go off or somebody could use them, right? So
yeah,
it's like dealing with a whole different stress level where like at a certain time you didn't have that stress level, which I just thought was interesting because at a certain point in life you didn't have to worry about nuclear weapons, and then after World War II you had to worry about nuclear weapons, which is just mind-blowing, right?
Yep.
So Oppenheimer, having seen this thing being tested and also seeing it being used, had this overwhelming like guilt of like, what have I done kind of thing. You know, once you've created it, it's out of the bag. There's no containing it.
Correct.
So Tenet was so cool because that's what they're trying to do is reverse that.
Yep.
And when the film wrapped for Tenet, Robert Pattinson had given Christopher Nolan it was like a diary from Oppenheimer or something from Oppenheimer, and it was given to him. And it's just, I just thought that was interesting that boom, our next movie is going to be about Oppenheimer, which the cast on Oppenheimer looks insane.
I'm going to look into it. I don't know much about it. So just real quick, you mentioned The Following, right? The movie.
Yeah.
From 1998. Okay.
Yeah.
It actually says Sling and Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I searched Amazon Prime and you can't watch it. You can find it, but there's no way to watch it.
Oh, got it.
So okay. I'm probably gonna have to just find it on DVD and just buy it that way. So
got it.
It's so not I'll on Vudu or anything. And
gotcha. I'll keep my eye out because I have three people. But sorry, three people right now that have a huge DVD collection.
Yeah.
That is like literally just giving away DVDs right now. So I'll reach out. A big one on their list, but at the same time, though,
that'd
I'll
be
do
wild
it.
If it was. But that'd be awesome.
But I'm also gonna say it must be pretty good because it's got an 81% on the old Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.5 on the IMDb.
Yeah, so you know it's a Nolan film. Yeah. So
exactly.
You know, it's interesting because what does Tenet get right now?
Let me look for you. Are you already on it?
No, I'm looking up Interstellar. Because Interstellar is a 73%. What's Tenet?
69.
Okay. So that's the newest lowest. It blows my mind, and I think I've said it a million times on this podcast about how Interstellar should not be a 73%. That's a 99% movie right there. 99. So it's just interesting because like the real deeper ones.
Yeah.
You're going to have a slightly selecter audience for that.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Absolutely. Because
Batman. What's the Dark Knight?
Oh, dude, that's probably huge. But I've had multiple people that watched Tenet that like that I've talked to about movies and stuff like that. Like a couple of people that actually would like, all right, you have a good opinion. I'm just, but I'm just saying, you know, and a lot of them are, you know, it was a mixed bag. Actually, I had people that loved it. People that are like, nah, I didn't get it. I didn't love this movie. I'm like, ugh.
It's crazy.
Are we friends? But I'm just kidding. Anyways, like, no, I'm just kidding.
If
but
you
yeah.
James Bond, what restricts you from enjoying this movie?
Thank you.
I don't
Thank
get you. It. Yeah. It has everything Absolutely. That those James that the Bond movies have, except maybe a little more technicality. Just a little bit more fringe.
Just well, yes, absolutely. And I think the thing is that James Bond is more of like that action type of whole thing, but at the same time with Tenet, you use your brain, man, and I just think that's a huge problem with people. I just think in general, sometimes people
shut off. Yeah.
Exactly. Because, so all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute, why? Oh, wait. Oh, nope, I hate it.
You're like, I have to think about how this is. And it's like, not really. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy like, it what you're watching.
There's a quote in the movie Tenet where she's like, you just have to feel it. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't
that's
have
it.
To understand what's going on. Yep. Just feel it. Anyways,
yes,
I love that movie. And so anyways, The Dark Knight, dude, gets a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Which, it's really interesting. When they go through Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises in the book, it is so interesting how differently they tackled those movies and what they thought about how to structure these movies. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Like,
really?
You know, the first one's all about like how he begins, but he has to basically betray the ones that created him because he didn't agree with their ideals. The second one, we're dealing with pure chaos and action because of the Joker. And the third one is all about this, destruction of the free world, civilization ripping apart, Bane basically causing the rich to collapse and the poor to eat them alive. So it's just super interesting, these fears that they've written themselves into and each stage of these movies. It's just an incredible book. If you love Christopher Nolan, I mean, you don't have to love the guy. If you love his movies, because even Dunkirk. I mean, Dunkirk was an amazing movie. It was a war movie that's done differently. But yeah, if you really enjoy Christopher Nolan films and you kind of want a deeper dive into the mind of, check out the Nolan Variations by Tom Schoen. Schoene. It was phenomenal.
Gotcha. I'll have to. Like I said, I'm not a book reader, but I mean, you're selling this to me very high end here. So.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. The more books I consume, the more I'm a book reader. Like a lot of my free time is just, I'm like, I'll just read some books right now. Right now, I'm reading The Big Short.
Nice. Okay, I've heard a lot of people like read the movie.
I love that movie. That movie is a great movie, and it's so informational about the crappy stuff that happened that caused the 2008 financial crisis. And this gives you, so I've already seen the movie like probably 10-15 times already, so I already like kind of know.
Yeah,
it's just it's cool to read the book because the movie does change some things, so it's just interesting to read about these characters more in depth.
Now, was the book first or the movie first?
The book first.
Okay, which that's normally what happens, but I just
So yeah, the book came out and Adam McKay made the movie out of the book, which there you could definitely see where it got everything from the book. I'm about halfway through at this point, and it's amazing what these banks get away with, but it's like incredibly criminal, man. Incredibly. What's really cool is probably had to have been maybe early spring. I go on Nextdoor. It's an app that we have, and they have a buy sell type of page.
Yeah,
and I'm just like scrolling through, and I saw that this guy was just selling huge boxes of books for cheap, and I'm like, well, if we ever got like a nice bookshelf, we might as well fill it up.
Yeah, for sure.
We had a ton of really awesome books. Honestly, these books are worth way more than I paid for the entire lot, you know? So,
got
it's,
it. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's pretty cool in general. But it was really cool because The Big Short was part of it. So I'm like, ah, cool. I'll just read this one next. Very cool.
Excited. Done and done.
Yeah. This is the 14th book I'm reading out of 12, so I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
I read 14 last year, so I got to hit 15.
And so you got two more 15. Months.
I know. I'm almost 60. I'm halfway through with 14, so 15. 15 is going
to
be.
No, it's easy. That's easy work. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. So.
So yeah. So the other thing that we're getting into, which I got to buy some PS, which is, it blows my mind that it was this long ago. I got to re-up on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, when I got the text, when you put that thread, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, because I thought I bought like 3 or 4 years worth.
Yeah.
And then it must have been 3 years because it's up.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
So yeah, I'm going to re-up and then we're going to be playing some Call of Duty here soon.
Yeah, I think we got a couple of weeks. Like I just think
I know. Yeah, because right? You said it was. Well, no, I thought you said it was October. Oh yeah, you better search that up.
I got you.
While you're doing that, I'm gonna be like, hey, if you've tuned in and you're still listening at this point, make sure you hit that like. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Tweet us out. Hit us up. At CoreyKevin1, email us, cktalkaboutnothing@gmail.com. Interact with us. We're just sitting here.
Yeah.
When we're not podcasting, we're still sitting here.
Exactly. We're just waiting for your tweets.
Waiting.
And your emails.
Anyways.
Call of Duty.
October 29th.
Attendance.
Oh, perfect, dude. So, yeah, we'll be.
Hold on.
I am very excited.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah. We'll
gotcha.
We'll be talking about that soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So,
well, you got anything else for us?
No, I don't. No, I really don't. I did fail. I meant to, when I got home today from work, look at movies that we could talk about next time. Do you have anything in line of what you're looking for?
How about there's a new one. I think it's on Netflix. And it's called something in Ohio. I don't remember. It's a horror movie. You know what I'm
talking about? The Devil in Ohio or something?
What about The Watcher? What about The Watcher? Is that a series? Oh, it's a mini series, but that's okay. How many episodes? Oh, it's only getting 41%. Oh. Ryan Murphy. Mm-hmm. Probably just American Horror Story.
Exactly. I'm saying it's got a 31%, is what I'm saying, on the old Rotten right now.
What does? The Watcher?
The Watcher.
That's awesome. I'm trying to see what this Ohio one is.
Yeah.
Oh,
are you sure it's not the Devil in Ohio?
That's it. Devil in Ohio.
Yeah.
Let's watch that one. We live in Ohio. Right, well, let's find out.
That's not a movie, though. Just so you know, it's another miniseries.
God damn, really?
Yeah.
Man, what the hell's up with that?
Yeah. Okay, and then actually, so real quick, my very last thing I have to think about while you're looking up something else. So remember we talked about The Terrifier?
Yeah.
And then The Terrifier 2?
Yeah, have you heard the reports of The Terrifier 2?
Dude, it's crazy. Like, I've actually heard some things that like people tweeted out and saying that the one dude had to get called the ambulance because he actually threw up and passed out in the thing and they had to call the ambulance for him. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And then do you know this thing's got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes right now? I mean, it is all right. Insane. But,
all right, screw everything then. Let's watch The Terrifier for the next one.
All right.
So we can figure out how to watch The Terrifier 2.
Yeah, so The Terrifier 2, it's actually, because it actually is so big and blew up so well, they're actually doing a second theatrical release and in more theaters, just so you know. So we'll have to figure it out.
Is this streaming at all?
The Terrifier 2? Or The Terrifier?
Terrified too, just in case we can't get to the theater.
Not that I know of. I didn't. Oh, wait. No, I think we can watch the original one on Amazon Prime. But I don't think it's streaming anywhere. So the other one I was thinking about, sorry, my brain wasn't working, is Halloween Ends. That's the other one that I was thinking about.
Yeah, I haven't seen Halloween Kills yet.
No, so I'm good. So that's one. That's why I didn't bring it up, because I'm like, but that was the other new one. I'm like, wait, there's another new Hollywood. But yeah, so
let's watch Terrifier.
Okay.
We'll figure out how to watch Terrifier 2.
Cool. I'm in.
Rock solid. All right.
Justice.
Let's end this damn thing.
All right. Thank you guys. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Noties. Yeah. Hit them all.
Yeah. So, thank you. And have a wonderful time.
Yep. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Bye.